Hey, this is Liam Ellison from the GM's Office. I just want to let you know that we are running a GM's Office Fantasy League this season, and we want you to join. It will be a categories league on ESPN, and you can find the link to join the league on our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Hope to see you getting involved.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Using Curry, way downtown, bang! Bang!
Oh, like that! You don't like NBA basketball!
Yes, hello, and welcome back to Season 2, Episode 5 of the GM's Office. We're here on a sunny Saturday afternoon here in Melbourne, Australia. My name is Liam Ellison, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you?
Great, Liam. Part 3 of our series that we're doing, and plenty of advice that we've got to give today.
Today's all about the Flyers. Now, let's quickly get into first what a Flyer is and why they're important to take. Now, basically, our definition of a Flyer is guys in the last couple of rounds in your draft. They're real risks. They might not come off at all, or they could, you know, pay off in a really big way. Now, Jared, for you, what's sort of your reasonings and what's the importance of taking Flyers in fantasy drafts?
Well, pretty much, Liam, a Flyer, I like to sort of define it as a guy that I've got an inkling that might have a massive season. So an example for me last year, Montrezl Harrell, he was someone that I took a Flyer on late in the draft, and he turned out to be a fantastic guy, averaged over 20 points in the one-point system that we've used for a couple of years now, and he pretty much fulfilled exactly what I was looking for. But at the same time, you can take a Flyer that's going to be terrible, but in the end, it doesn't matter too much, because if the Flyer doesn't work, you can end up using it as a streaming spot and then take Flyers off the waiver wire. So pretty much that, Liam.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it also is important in the same vein to have the kind of mindset that these final two or maybe even three spots on your roster should be interchangeable. If you have a guy with a pretty, you know, low upside whose role is set, there's no reason to be holding on to them if there's someone on the waiver wire who's had a really good first two or three games. Because often, you know, in the first two or three games of an NBA season, there'll be people who will be performing, you know, highly above their value, and often it won't last. But you have to take the chance that it will, because it could turn into the next Montrezl Harrell. And if you can grab a guy who is actually has, you know, maybe fourth or fifth round value in the 13th round, I mean, that's going to give you a huge leg up in winning your fantasy league.
Yeah, look, the more research you do, the better luck you're going to have with this. So what we're going to give you now is pretty much some research that we've done, and hopefully you take it into account.
Well, let's start off with your first Flyer pick, Jared. Who have you gone with straight off the bat?
So a favourite of mine, Len, Jabari Parker. And look, this really depends on a lot of factors for Jabari. We know last year he got traded to the Wizards after a pretty horrid start with the Bulls last season. And when he did get traded to the Wizards, he put up 16 points a game with 7 rebounds as well. And those numbers really solid for a guy that, you know, he was coming off the bench and he had a solid role. And with Jabari, it was all about having a solid role on his team. It wasn't about starting. It was about consistency with his minutes. And look, this is maybe more so for deeper leagues with Jabari Parker. Just a massive impact player, and he just needs those consistent minutes. So keep watching Jabari over the preseason to see what his role is with the Hawks.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I think the preseason is going to be really important. We'll get a bit of a snapshot into, you know, where the Hawks are going to fit him into, I mean, their rotation. He will be behind, you know, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Alex Len, but I think there's a real chance that this guy could be the sixth man potentially for this team. And we did see last season in the preseason with Chicago that the signs were already kind of there. The writing was on the wall. He wasn't getting many minutes there. He
wasn't even playing. Like, they had him
in the preseason.
Oh, in the preseason? No, sorry, Liam, wasn't listening properly. But,
oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you're right. He did lose his spot in the rotation as the season went on. I mean, this guy should be playing really in the NBA. He's a super talented player. Must have some shortcomings elsewhere. But, you know, for fantasy, can really stuff the stat sheet.
Yeah, it's what I like about Jabari. And, like, he doesn't do a whole lot other than get points and rebounds, but they're always pretty high. So, yeah, it's good signs with him.
Yeah, definitely valuable in the 1-1-1 format for those points and boards, and obviously the high field goal percentage as well. Let's get into my first Flyer pick, Jared, and I'm going to go with Rodion Skoruk from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I think he should start at power forward. It certainly looks that way at the moment when looking at the depth charts. There is Taurean Prince and Wilson Chandler also in Brooklyn who potentially could start at that four spot, but I think Skoruk is probably best suited to take that position. Now, he did show glimpses last season, was pretty under the radar, and towards the second half of the year, he did start to make some noise. He averaged around 8.5 points per game on 20 minutes. Now, who knows, if we can see 30 minutes a night out of Karooks, maybe he takes a step forward in his second season.
Yeah, last season is almost grooming him for this season, Liam. He had stints where he started at the three last year, and he was really solid, Rodian. So, yeah, I do like that pick. And like you said, the depth at that four position isn't that strong anyway. So, no KD there, obviously, this season. So, yeah, that's opened up for him perfectly.
Yeah, could go either way, this one. I wouldn't hold on to him too long if at the start of the season he doesn't work out. But certainly a guy that could be worth taking a flyer on. Let's get into your second pick, Jared. Who have you got?
Yeah, my second pick, Liam, another former Wizard, Thomas Satoransky. And he was a favourite of ours last season, Liam. He found himself starting at the point guard position when John Wall went down, and he was just really solid. And his assist numbers as a point guard are great. Put up 7 assists as a starting point guard with the Wizards last season.
Yeah.
And look, Chicago are stacked the one, but I think Satoransky is going to find himself starting at least for the start of the season. So someone you could take a bit of a flyer on to get yourself to a good start next season. And I'd expect similar numbers.
Yeah, I like that one. I think the only reason why this guy is probably a flyer and not maybe, you know, a sleeper pick is because of that depth at the point guard position. Now, we know they've got, you know, their young players in Chris Dunn and also Kobe White, their new draftee there. So there's a fair chance that they'll look to them potentially to start just for development reasons. But I think at the moment, Satoransky would be probably the best player of the bunch. And for that reason, we give him the chance to maybe settle in as the starting point guard spot and maybe on, you know, a Chicago team that's not particularly loaded with talent. You know, I think this could be a real chance for him to slate himself as a starting point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, we've mentioned this before with Satoransky. He's just got a very good build for a point guard position in terms of fantasy, because not a prolific scorer. He put up 11 points per game when he started at the point guard position. But because he's big, he will get you 5 rebounds. And for a point guard, we know that's really handy.
Yeah, he's a really good option. And let's stay with the European flavour that we've got going at the moment. And I'm going to go with Yusuf Nurkic as my next flyer. Now, this pick really depends on whether your league has an IR spot. Now, I think unless you're in a really deep league, I mean, this guy's probably not going to come back till around the All-Star break. So to take a flyer on him when he's going to be out for, you know, upwards of 4 months is a really risky thing. But if you do have an IR spot, I think the upside is there for your fantasy playoffs in March and April. And if you can get a hold of him early on and just, you know, keep him there in that spot for the rest of the season, you could get some value when you need it the most.
And he's not the only player that fits into this mold, Liam. We could talk about Klay Thompson as a guy you could take a flyer on. We know that he'll probably be back at some point next year. And
yeah,
Klay Thompson's a guy that could come in and play a really strong role for your team in the playoffs this upcoming fantasy season. Maybe Kevin Durant, Liam. Do you reckon there's a chance he comes back?
Maybe. I mean, they've been saying that. It seems a little bit risky, don't you think, considering he did his Achilles in June. But who knows? Maybe he will. I mean, I'd have to say he'd be a real flyer, Kevin Durant, given the uncertainties around his return date.
Yeah, probably one that I avoid, but I think it spurs good conversation.
Definitely. I mean, there's a chance. There's always a chance. Who's your next one, Jared? Your next flyer?
D12, Liam. D39, actually. Dwight Howard right now. And look, Dwight famously signed back with the Lakers again, Liam. And look, Dwight, he had a really injury-interrupted season last year. Only played the 9 games for the Wizards. 3 Wizards, Liam. I've had. Didn't realise that. Just realised that now. But yeah, he had a very injury-interrupted season. And what he did do with the Wizards, though, in those 9 games that he played for them, he just put up solid numbers again. And that's something that Dwight's done his whole career. 12 points and 9 rebounds in 26 minutes. And look, I think JaVale is going to get the starting spot with the Lakers next year.
Yep.
But Dwight's a guy that could work himself back into that 5 position. He's a very solid guy. And even if he's coming off the bench, I could see him still averaging near a double-double.
Yeah, and I think even if JaVale does start, there's probably a high chance that they're in almost a minute share kind of situation, which would be good for Dwight. He probably doesn't need a huge amount of minutes to make an impact, as you just said. And I think, yeah, a double-double is definitely achievable for a guy who just gobbles up the rebounds like Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and he seems like he's got his body in a really tip-top shape, Liam. We've seen plenty of photos of Dwight.
Oh, we've seen a lot of photos.
On Venice Beach, yeah. Liam. He's been flexing big time, big Dwight. But
he's been on the cut, I think, you know, really getting the six-pack out down Venice Beach, you know, taking some nice professionally taken videos with the fans. Instagram curated, I think, Dwight Howard's going for.
Yeah, good on him, Liam. I hope he does get a good run, Dwight. He's had a rough few years in the league. Ever since he left the Rockets, it's been all down for Dwight, and yeah, let's hope for the best.
Yeah, I like that one. I think Dwight Howard will be a nice little pick towards the end of your draft. Now, on to my next one, and I'm going to talk about the starting small forward for the Golden State Warriors. That is right, Jared. Alphonso McKinney. This guy is going to start for the Golden State Warriors, and I don't know what he's going to do. I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about him. He played some big minutes in the NBA Finals last year, so clearly they trust him, or at least they had to trust him in the big moments. So, I mean, he's starting, I guess, so let's give him a go. I mean, this is probably going to be a playoff team, and any time you can grab a starter on a playoff team, I mean, he could break out. Who knows? I think he's a good flyer.
This is what we mean by having a bit of an inkling, Lamb. Look, he's clearly going to probably be the number five offensive option in that starting lineup for the Warriors, but this guy could blow up and have a few big games next year. Who knows? And, yeah, I like this one.
And even if he only averages 10 to 12 points a game in deeper leagues, that might still be rosterable. So it should be noted that if Klay Thompson does come back, he'll probably slide back onto the bench. But again, that is an if. So definitely, I think, suits the flyer territory. What's your next pick, Jared?
Yeah, so I've gone for a Clipper, Liam, here, and it's Landry Shamet. And look, Landry Shamet, he should start at the two for the Clippers. He's a fantastic three-point shooter. He's so wet, Liam. I love Landry Shamet. That three-point shot he hit against the Warriors in the playoffs last year, oh, mate, it made me, oh, I can't say it.
Can we just get a replay of that one? Oh, he's so wet. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, pretty bad by me, but look, Landry.
That's all right.
Plenty of upside for him this year. And look, we know that the Clippers are stacked with guys that can score the ball. I think there's four guys for the Clippers that could average over 20 next year. It's
four guys?
Yeah, it's a good possibility.
Has that ever happened before?
I don't know, but it's just the possibility of guys sharing the load. I don't think it's going to be who scores the points with the Clippers. I think everyone's going to have an equal role next year. And Landry's a guy that I could see putting up, you know, up to 15 points a game. He averaged 11 when he went to the Clippers last year. And he's been lauded for his defensive efforts as well. Add a steal to that, Liam. This guy could be a guy you take a flyer on late in the draft.
So what's his position on the Clippers' rotation next season? Who's going to start at the two?
Yeah, he'll start at the two. So Pat Bev at the one and Landry at the two. But there's been talk about him rotating to the one at times as well. So he played point guard position when he was in college. So there's a chance we could see that again.
Yeah, I think obviously a really good player. I mean, did the Clippers have two rookies starting in the playoffs last season? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, we had Landry and Shea. And Shea's gone to OKC, obviously. But yeah, we did have two.
Yeah, that's really, really impressive stuff and clearly is highly rated by the Clippers organization. My only worry here would be that there is only one basketball to go around. But nonetheless, I think definitely suits the flyer category because it is entirely plausible this guy takes another step up and there's going to be a lot of open looks there on the Clippers this season.
I know that Doc's going to love running his old Ray Allen and JJ Redick players with Landry Shamet. Could be. I know that Doc, when he used to run the players with JJ Redick at the start of the game to get him off to a quick start, could be something that happens with Landry next season.
Have we just heard it here first that Landry Shamet, the next Ray Allen?
Let's hope.
Oh. Unbelievable. The Clippers Clippers fandom here is off the charts. Let's go to my last flyer at the moment for our show today, and that is Luke Kennard from the Detroit Pistons. Now, similar sort of player to Landry Shamet, bit of a sharpshooter from deep, plays the shooting guard position, and just looking at the Pistons roster, they don't have much depth there in that shooting guard position. Now, at the moment on a lot of sites, Bruce Brown Jr. is currently slated to start at shooting guard. Now, I'll admit, Jarrett, I don't know a lot about Bruce Brown Jr., but just looking at his stats from last season, it was low volume scoring on pretty bad percentages. So maybe he's got, you know, another level in him, but I can definitely see Luke Kennard taking the shooting guard position. It should also be noted that D. Rose is also in Detroit. Mm. Obviously, Reggie Jackson will start at the one. So maybe towards the end of games, they go with a Rose and Jackson lineup. But I think there will be 25 minutes a night there probably for Luke Kennard.
Yeah, he had plenty of games last year, Luke Kennard, where he showed a lot of promise. And look, my only concern with this is, did D. Rose start at the two at all last year for Minnesota, Lamb?
I don't believe so. I believe it was sort of coming off the bench. Jeff Teague had some time out as well, injury, so he stepped in, started at the one a bit.
Yeah, that's my only concern. Dero is possibly starting at the two, but I think maybe he will come off as the sixth man for Detroit, Dero's. But yeah, Luke Kennard, like you said, there's a massive hole at the two for Detroit, and yeah, I do like this pick.
Yeah, and he hasn't set the world on fire in his first two NBA seasons. There's been a lot of talk about being the, I believe, the pick before Donovan Mitchell. So, you know, Detroit would be, you know, pretty upset about that one, you'd think. But nonetheless, he was okay last season. As you said, I mean, averaged around 10 points per game and 20 minutes of game time. So, you know, with increased opportunity, could we see a breakout from Kennard and maybe even, you know, 14 or 15 a game from him?
Yeah, that'd be a good return, Lamb. And yeah, like we said, definition of a flyer right there.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's all we've got time for on today's episode of the GM's Office. I hope we've been able to give you a little bit of an insight on the importance of taking a few risks towards the end of the draft. And maybe we've given you some insight into who you could take as well with those final few picks. Well, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.